And then we'll look at a few verses in chapter 1 of Ephesians, and then we'll look at a corresponding verse in Ephesians chapter 4. The title of the message this morning is Breaking Free from a Darkened Understanding. And this is part 6 in our study, but if you haven't been here for the first 5, you can still just jump right in with us and receive understanding from the Lord this morning. But then also, these services are available free of charge on the internet, podcasts, different ways that you can access those if something stirs in your heart this morning that you'd like to hear some more about. And speaking of the podcast and the live stream, we've had this mystery that the Lord helped us resolve where every 20 seconds we would have a 1 second pause in the feed. And if Marcos McClellan can't track it down, then you know we got to go somewhere outside there. And anyway, an audio engineer who set up our live stream helped us resolve that. And so thank you for those of you who are patient. You know, back in the day, I don't know if churches still do this, they would hand you a little piece of paper when you walked in the door, and they called it fill-ins. You know, so where it would have like the pastor's main point, but there would be blanks, you know, where you had to kind of fill it in as he went along. And so I think some of you thought we were doing a digital version of that, right, where you know, you just had to guess. I heard Mom thanking Marcos this morning, and she says, sometimes, most of the time I would know what the word missing was, but sometimes I wouldn't. But no, that's not what was going on here. That was a little glitch in the system that we have gotten corrected. And thank you for your patience in the process. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this is what he prayed. I'm just going to give you the first couple of verses of this. It's a prayer that goes all the way into chapter 2, but I'm just going to give you the first couple of verses for sake of time this morning. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And that's the phrase, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit continues to list several other key things to our Christian life that the Apostle Paul, as according to his testimony, that he never stopped praying for God's people to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Now, when we're talking about wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, we're talking about understanding and the ability to function in the ways of God. But an understanding that doesn't come from the outside of a person into a person, but one that comes from the inside of a person out of a person. And the classic example of this is when Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven." So Paul was praying that we would have this ongoing experience in our walk with the Lord as we are yoked together with him in discipleship, doing life together with him on a moment by moment, day by day basis, that the Lord himself would continually be revealing things to us that we would not have the ability to see or understand or come to the knowledge of any other way. We're talking about something that is above and beyond information, wisdom, understanding that is above and beyond earthly wisdom, earthly understanding. Things that you can't go to school and learn in a textbook, but things that God will reveal to you by his Spirit. And this is critically important for us. Remember, your spirit has been born again, but your soul has not been, and your body has not been. And your spirit has been saved. Your soul, which is your mind, emotions, and will, it is being saved. And then your body one day shall be saved when this mortal puts on immortality. And so the work of discipleship is not trying to make the spirit better. Amen. Your spirit has been born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And the Bible says, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see him, we will be like him, because we are like him, because we've been born of his seed." But in essence, it's our thinking that's catching up. And so the understanding part of us, you understand with your mind, and your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. So we see then these amazing verses that you'll never understand if you only think in one dimension. Three-dimensional thinking means you understand and recognize that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. That's why Hebrews 10:14 says he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Come on, I'm going kind of fast now because we've covered some of this already. He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Do you realize the Bible is saying to born-again believers, you're a perfect work in progress? Well, how can you be perfect and a work in progress at the same time? It's because your spirit has been perfected. Now our soul, our thinking, our understanding is catching up with what God's already done, past completed work, in your born-again spirit. And so this is the real target of discipleship. Let me say it another way. If we're going to grow spiritually, if we're going to develop in the things of God, if we're going to grow up into Jesus in all things, it's going to require a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Your spirit has not just been enlightened, it has been made light. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:8, you were once darkness. Period. But now you are light. I'm sorry. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Period. Walk therefore as children of light. So he says you were once darkness. Now you've been made light. Jesus said you are the light of the world, and he has made us light because we were born of light. Amen. So it's one thing for your spirit to be the light of God and to contain the light of God, but it's another thing for your understanding to be enlightened. And this is, of course, the next step. If you've never been born again, you need to do it like sooner rather than later, okay? Like this morning would be a great opportunity, amen. But if you've already been born again, then the next step and the target of our continued growth and development and moving deeper and deeper into the things of God, experiencing more and more of the benefits of our salvation, having greater impact on the world around us, like Samuel was talking about just a moment ago, involves this part of our understanding being enlightened. Have you ever used the expression, it dawned on me? Is that just something we say around our house? Amen. It dawned on me, right? So notice, dawn is when the sun comes up, right? Dawn is where night becomes day, when it dawns on you. And so we use that expression, it dawned on me, meaning that we finally could see something that we couldn't see while it was still dark. So the understanding that he's talking about here is our ability to see things that we have not been able to see previously. Okay, now, let's go to Ephesians 4, and you're going to kind of see, I pray that you see clearly why Paul never stopped praying this. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility, or the King James Version says the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So remember, he's speaking to born-again people here. He's speaking to men and women who've been born again, but we could say it this way, that they're still baby Christians. And although they've been born again, they still think like somebody who has not been born again. They still understand like somebody who's not been born again. And because of that, they're living as outsiders when they're actually insiders. They're blinded to the goodness of God and all that God has done for them and all that God has given to them and all that God has made them. That doesn't mean he hasn't given, made, or done for them. He has. But they don't see it. And because they don't see it, and seeing it and understanding it are basically interchangeable terms, because they don't understand it or because they don't see it, amen, their understanding is still darkened, right? Then they're living as if it's not that way when it is that way. They're missing out. Remember, the benefits of salvation are freely given, but they're not automatically experienced and enjoyed. The benefits of salvation are freely given, but they're not automatically experienced and enjoyed. And the more we learn to think the way God created us to think, the more we, and I want to just emphasize this phrase a lot this morning, the more we see things the way God sees them, that's understanding. The more we understand things the way God understands them, the more we will experience and enjoy the benefits of our salvation. In other words, the more who he made us will be reflected in our life reality, the more that he's done for us will be reflected in our life reality, and the more of the things that he's given to us already will be reflected in our life reality. So we see then that Paul, let me say another way. Do you understand now why Paul never stopped praying for them to have an enlightened understanding and that they may know what is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? That word know corresponds with understand. And even in some places in the scripture, it's translated understand instead of know. And this word know in this particular usage is the Greek word eido, E-I-D-O, and it literally means to see with perception. To see with perception, meaning that you can see things, right? Meaning that you can see things, let me say it this way, as they truly are. A darkened understanding does not understand things as they truly are. An enlightened understanding, light is the ability to see, darkness is the inability to see. Light from God is the ability to see things as they truly are. Okay, you still with me? This is important. This is a key part. Let me slow down for a moment, all right? So when he's praying that their understanding would be enlightened, he's praying that they would have the ability to understand things as they truly are. Someone living with a darkened understanding, period, because this is how people who don't know God live, they're living their lives not understanding things as they truly are. But as it relates to a born-again believer, as it truly is, right, back to your born-again spirit, who God made you, what he gave to you, what he's done for you, right? And so as long as we fail to understand who God made you, what he's given to you, what he's done for you, our understanding is darkened. And so this is what we're talking about then. This is what I really feel like the Holy Spirit is breathing on right now to us as a family of faith, is that he wants to help you and me break free from a darkened understanding, which means he wants to bring us from a place where we do not understand things as they truly are into a life reality that is reflecting of understanding how things truly are. Okay, you still with me? And by the way, if something is vain or futile, the vanity or futility of their mind. Remember, this ties directly into the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 3, leaning on your own understanding. Your own understanding, the futility of your mind, the vanity of your mind. Okay? Now, we've said this before, I just want to remind you, if something is futile, or if something is vanity, we think of vanity as pride, and that's not what he means here, vanity. Have you ever said, man, you're doing that in vain? You're doing that in vain. And what it means in that usage of the word is no matter how many times you do that, it's not going to produce the result that you want to have in your life. So if something is futile or something vain in this application, he's saying that no matter how many times you do it the way you're doing it, according to your own understanding, it's never going to produce the result in your life that you want to have produced in your life. But guess what? God's understanding will produce the results. God's understanding will produce the results in your life that you desire to have produced. Amen. So, let me put this point on the screen. A darkened understanding will never produce the life God created you to live. Now, go with me. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to try to rush through some of this right here because there's a certain target I'm trying to hit before we finish this morning. And some of this is new for some of you, and some of this is review for some of you, but there's some things related to this that I want to make sure we connect together before we really kind of get into what our understanding is and how it's developed and how we can change it with the Lord's help and with the Word of God. Amen. But a darkened understanding, if you've read the Gospels carefully, you'll see that a darkened understanding was one of the greatest problems that Jesus dealt with in people. It was one of the greatest obstacles that he dealt with in people in general. But it wasn't just, you know, people in general. It was also one of the greatest problems that his disciples dealt with. A darkened understanding. Now, I'm not trying to be offensive, so please don't take offense. Amen. Paul himself said that he had not yet arrived, but that he was continually, by revelation, understanding the full height, breadth, length, depth of the love of God that passes knowledge. If something passes knowledge, the only way you're ever going to know it is if the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. And the Apostle Paul recognized, despite all that he had accomplished for God, despite all that he'd experienced with God, that there were still things that he was reaching for. When Paul said, I do not understand why I continue to do the thing that I hate and have a hard time following through on the thing that I know I should do, he was writing that as a born-again man. Okay, so, amen. I'm speaking to people who are at different stages in their growth and development this morning. I recognize that. But the most spiritually developed and mature among us still has areas of our understanding that we're overcoming and we need to have enlightened. And the reason that's important is, let's go to James 1:5. We don't have to turn there, but James 1:5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And sometimes we just think, okay, just ask God and give you wisdom. He didn't say that. He said, if you lack wisdom, ask. In other words, you've got to acknowledge the need for it before God can help you. If you don't think you have any need for improvement in the way you understand things, then how can God help you? Right? But if we'll humble ourselves, who gets the help? The humble get the help, right? If we'll humble ourselves and say, God, thank you. Thank you for everything you've shown me up until this point in my life. Thank you for all the things that you've revealed to me that I know now that I would have never known had you not revealed them to me by the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Word of God. But Father, I also recognize that you are vast God. You're a big God, and your wisdom created the universe and all that's within it. And so therefore, there are areas that I still need my understanding enlightened. Amen. See, this is another reason why Paul could pray this prayer over and over and over and over again. Because no matter how much, you know, understanding, no matter how much enlightenment they had received from God in their understanding, there's always room for more. Can we agree there? Can we come to terms there? And so when Paul is talking to people in the Ephesian church, and by the Holy Spirit, and he says, you're living like outsiders. You're living like people who don't know God. You're behaving. And of course, he didn't just talk to the Ephesians about this. He talked to the Colossians about this. He talked to the Galatians about this. He talked to the Corinthians about this. He talked to the Thessalonians about this. He talked to the Heritagonians, about this, right? In other words, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to the body of Christ. And we can't ever get, you know, comfortable and lazy and apathetic towards the things of God. We have to remain hungry and humble and continue to pursue. And when God reveals something to you, be a steward of that, log that, record that, share that, but don't get puffed up in pride. The way you stay humble is, how did I make it this many years in my life without seeing this? Thank you, Father, that I understand it now and you revealed it to me. What else do I not understand? What else do I need you to reveal to me? And then continue that journey with him. Amen? And so that's why Paul, you know, that's why he kept saying, if there's one thing, Paul said there's only one thing of all that has to do with living for God. He said the only thing that he considered himself to have mastered was forgetting what was behind him and continuing to reach for what was ahead of him. Amen. Amen. And so, again, we have to acknowledge that we need our understanding enlightened before God can ever be free to help us. And so, you know, these disciples were men and women. I'm talking about the inner circle of the 12, but there were obviously female disciples. They followed with Jesus. They heard basically every word that came out of his mouth, at least in a public setting. They witnessed the miracles. In other words, they had inside position, but then we also see that the disciples had inside information. And that's not God playing favorites. It's because they gave Jesus a place in their life that other people weren't willing to give him. And so do you remember when Jesus taught this parable in John the 6th chapter about eating his flesh and drinking his blood? And the Bible says that many who followed him no more. Whereas people left Jesus' ministry that day by the thousands, I believe. And later that evening, Jesus is sitting there with his disciples and he looks them in the face and he says, are you going to leave me too? And Peter, again, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, where else will we go? You have the words of life. What is Peter saying? He's saying, there's nobody else we can go to hear what we're hearing from you. You have truth that's been kept hidden from the foundations of the world that you're now revealing to mankind. There's no other source from which we can receive these things. But now watch this though. Peter did not understand the sermon any more than the folks who left Jesus that day understood it. He didn't understand it, but notice he said, I don't understand it, but I know it's right. I don't understand it, but if it's coming from you, it's something I need to know. I don't understand it. I can't see what you're talking about right now, but I'm not ever going to see it unless I have it receive understanding of it from you, Jesus. So do you see the attitude of the heart? Do you see the attitude of the heart? And so we see that the attitude was correct, but the disciples still struggled in these areas of their understanding. Now, I want to explain this in greater detail this morning, but let me Let me, if I could, just get to the heart of it. The disciples' greatest failure in the area of understanding is they never, watch this now, they never understood what yesterday and today's miracles had to do with tomorrow's problems. They would witness miracles, they would participate in miracles, but then a day or two later they would find themselves in a similar situation in need of a similar miracle, and they would go back to money. They would go back to what they understood as the way to solve a problem. The understanding that this is not just some anomaly or some rare thing, right? But this is a new way of life. This is God's way of meeting people's needs. This is God's way of healing people's bodies. This is God's way of setting people free. But they would witness those things, participate in those things, be a part of those things, literally watch them unfold in front of their eyes, and then a few days later they would face a similar situation and they would be going, I don't know what we're going to do here. I don't know how we're going to fix this. And that is what we mean by a darkened understanding. Their understanding would not allow what they were seeing to penetrate and reorient their understanding. Now I want to talk some more about that. We've got a few more minutes, so just stay with me. Mark chapter 8, and this is a classic example. We find this also in Matthew. And listen, I could have put verse after verse after verse up here where Jesus said something about their understanding, their inability to understand, their lack of understanding. Do you not understand? Are your hearts still hardened? Do you not perceive? Do you not understand? And in one case, he even says, do you still not understand? Right. Okay. So Mark chapter 8, verse 17 through 21. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? They got in a boat and they realized nobody packed lunch. Now they're out on the water and there's nowhere to buy food. And so they're picturing themselves as starving that day, going hungry. Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said 12. So Jesus is making sure they hadn't forgot that whole thing, right? And of course, yes, we remember that well, Jesus, 12. We got this, ding, 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 right? But now notice now, this is knowledge, but this is not understanding. They had knowledge of it. They had recollection of it. They could get up in front of a crowd of people and give a testimony about it. I was there when it happened. I was there. As a matter of fact, if you understand how that miracle worked, it actually worked in the hands of the disciples. Jesus took the little boy's lunch and broke it up into 12 portions, handed it to them, and they went and fed the people. And every time they broke a piece of bread off and handed it to somebody, there was more bread in their hand. So literally thousands of miracles, over repetitive miracles, over. Now, a few days later, they're in a boat, and they're hungry, and they're like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So do you see what I'm saying? Yesterday's and today's miracles never impacted the way they saw future problems. This is understanding, not knowledge, understanding. Understanding, your understanding changes when you see things differently. Jesus wanted these men to live a life where they never saw lack. He says, why do you reason because you have no bread? What is it about your understanding that always leads you to a place of not having enough? We could say it this way. Your understanding is how your mind works. You ever seen somebody do something that you don't do or do it in a way that you don't do it? And you maybe say, and I know some of these euphemisms, these maybe colloquialisms or whatever we want to call them, right? They may not be, you know, in your circle or environment, but have you ever said this one or heard anybody say this one? Man, my mind just don't work that way. Anybody? It's like, my mind don't work that way. You know, you're like, I'm what, sister, girl, what you doing, man? My mind don't work that way. Well, obviously her sister's mind does work that way. Yours don't, but hers does, right? So we talk about understanding. We're talking about how your mind works. Jesus' mind worked this way. If we've just got a couple of fish and some loaves of bread, we can feed as many people as are hungry today and have plenty left over. That's how his mind worked. That's his understanding. That's how he saw things. And this is what Jesus is trying to impart into his disciples. And are we not his disciples? He wants you and me to have the same understanding, where we see things the way he sees them. But so many people, listen to me right now. All you can see is lack. All you can see is things working out with you coming up on the short end of the stick over and over and over again. And it's because you have come up on the short end of the stick over and over and over again, all the way back to your childhood. And it's formed within you this understanding that this is how the world works, and this is the way things are, and this is the way we understand things. And so God will do all these things for you, and you'll be thankful for it, and you have knowledge of it, and you can give a testimony about it, but it still doesn't change the way you look at what you perceive to be a need tomorrow. Hallelujah. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Jesus' mind didn't work that way. He was astonished. He's like, are you guys telling me that you're really worried about food right now? Sometimes I get bold enough in classes and I ask people questions about things I've been teaching. And I've learned, man, there are times at the Foundry, man, I'll teach on something for 3 or 4 weeks in a row, then I'll start asking some basic questions about it, and everybody's like, what? I know this sounds crazy, but they know by now that if I do this, that I'm fixing to give somebody a $20 bill if they can give me an answer. I'm ready to buy an answer. You know what I'm saying? And then I start getting all these answers, but none of them are right. Hallelujah. But this was Jesus. Jesus was shocked by this. He's like, well, let me just tell you what he said. Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Remember now, I know some of this is a review. A hardened heart means a heart set in its ways. We think somebody with a hard heart is like cruel and crotchety and angry all the time and rude to people. No, according to Jesus, a hardened heart is somebody whose heart is set, like concrete sets, like epoxy sets. It was pliable at first, but now it's stayed in that same position long enough where it's set. He says, is your heart still set on looking to money for every answer that you have. Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets will the take up? They said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000. On two occasions we have recorded in the scripture, Jesus fed multitudes of people with a little bit of food. How many fragments did you take up? And they said 7. So clearly they remembered. Clearly they knew. Knowing and understanding is not the same thing. You can know all kinds of stuff from this word, but it never be a factor in your understanding of life. You can know all the things that Father God has to say. You can quote every in Christ reference in this book. You can commit them all to memory. But that's not the same as seeing yourself as someone who's in Christ. As understanding that every one of those things are true about you right now. Because you've been made new by the blood of Jesus and the Word of God. Here's a classic one. John 20 and verse 9. Jesus told them again and again and again. He told them using metaphor, simile, somebody help me, but you understand what I'm saying. Just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so must the Son of Man die and be in the belly of the earth. He told them figuratively, he told them literally. He says, look at me. They're going to kill me. They're going to bury me. I will be dead for 3 days and then I will rise from the dead. He told them that. If you were to ask anybody, if they knew it, they would say yes. Did they understand it? No. How do we know? Because when he was crucified and when he was buried, they panicked. When his tomb was empty, nobody had the wherewithal to say, wait a second. He told us, guess what's happened? No, not about it. They're like, somebody stole his body. Because, see, that was their understanding. That if something was there one day and it was gone the next, and it had to have been taken by somebody and moved somewhere. Because their understanding had no no room, if you will. Well, praise God. Let me thank you, Jesus. Can you give me a couple more minutes? Yes, 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 yes. Okay. I want to get to this part right here. I want you to leave here understanding what understanding is. Okay? We're going to start there. Amen. Your understanding is the way you see things. Or let me say it another way. It's the way you see the world. It's the way you see to resolve or correct problems in the world. So now watch this, because I don't want to intimidate you by this, but if you think you can change your understanding without the help of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Word of God, you are completely wrong. Paul didn't say, I pray you guys will one day get it. I pray you guys will one day finally figure it out. I pray that you guys will one day through just a lot of hard work. No, he says, I pray that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God, and that he would enlighten the eyes of your understanding. Because there's no way you can ever do this without God or apart from God. But when we're talking about your understanding changing, are you ready? This is maybe the simplest thing, but I think it's going to give you a grasp on what we're talking about here. Because changing your understanding means changing the way you see the world. Changing the way you see how the world works. Changing the way you see your place in the world. Changing the way you see who yourself. See, the devil's tried your whole life to get you to see yourself as not measuring up, as not being good enough, as not having enough, as hoping for a break, or hoping that one day your luck will change. Your whole life is how the devil, and this is how so many people, the understanding that so many people live their life. The world's not fair. The world's a cruel place. The world's this, the world's that. And so, you know, we gotta get our own while we can, and so forth and so on. And so it's how you understand the world. And again, have you figured out, have you lived long enough by now to figure out that not everybody understands the world the way you understand it? Or let me say it another way. Not everybody sees things the way you see them. The first time I took my, I sat before the board to get my state and then national certification. It's not faith-based, Christ-centered credential. And worked. Some of you were part of Heritage back in those days. You know, it was a couple of year process of working and taking enough classes, and then we had to do a written case study, and then I had to present that case study before a board, state board. And once I presented my case study, they then were going to interview me and ask me questions about my approach, or I could say it this way, my understanding of addiction recovery. Well, I'd already been warned, you know, that these people are looking for key buzzwords, you know, secular buzzwords. And I wasn't trying to compromise. I wasn't going to compromise, but, you know, I was figuring out how I could not compromise what I believe, but still give them answers that they would consider at least acceptable. Well, they flunked me. I didn't pass. And this was actually the morning after the 2011 tornado. And I had been up all night, and, you know. And so there's a friend of mine who's on the board, and he's a believer. But of course, because of our friendship, he was not allowed to sit, you know, for my appearance. And so afterwards I said to Charles, man, we got to get some more believers on that board. He looked at me and started laughing. He said, your biggest critic and the dude that flunked you teaches Sunday school at his church every Sunday. I'm like, what? Are you hearing me? He doesn't see things the same way I see them. I'm not judging him. I'm not telling you. If our brother's a believer, he's a believer. If he's received Jesus, whatever. But obviously we have a completely different understanding of things. Amen. So because so many different people understand so many different ways, who's right? I heard somebody say it over here, right? God is right. His way of seeing things, his understanding of things, this is the one that's right. Now, What do we say about light? Light's the ability to see things as they truly are. Light is the ability to see things as they truly are. And enlightened understanding sees things as they truly are. Praise God. All right. We do not all have the same understanding, meaning we do not all see things the same way. Our desire should be to see things as God sees them, to understand things the way He understands them. God is right, and He has never been wrong. Somebody give me an amen on that one. And how about this one? You will never go wrong looking at things God's way. Matter of fact, I wanted to double down on that one. It is impossible to go wrong looking at things God's way. Amen. Matt, Vanessa, Daniel, if y'all would come, please, we'll close this out. Now, what I want to explain to you in greater detail than I've got time to do right now next week, but I just want to kind of plant a seed. This word understanding from the original language in the Bible, the Greek language, understand has to do with putting pieces together like pieces of a puzzle that make an organized whole. Okay, I'm kind of quoting the actual terminology now. But again, the example, even in the Greek lexicon, is putting pieces of a puzzle together. And whether you understand this or not, or realize this or not, is that you started putting pieces of your understanding, right, together when you were very young. It starts when we're children. As we start through trial and error, we start learning how the world works, right? Or how we think it works, all right? Now, the older you get, the more your understanding is formed. And then it gets full, the mind gets closed. So now Jesus goes and raises somebody from the dead, and you watch it. I mean, you still smell their rotten body while you see them hugging their family. But there's nowhere for that piece of the puzzle to fit. It don't fit with how you understand things to work. Are you seeing this? It don't fit. I saw it. I know it. It was amazing. Yes. But we keep living with the same understanding because when God shows us things about money, when God shows us things about family, when God shows us things about emotions, when God shows us things about giving and serving and being generous, right? We see these things and we go, yeah, man, that's good, but it don't fit with my understanding. That's not how I understand the world to work. And so we'll take notes about it, amen it, tell our cousin about the sermon to listen to it, but never understand it. In other words, never allow it to change the way we see the world, our place in it, and how things work. Amen? All right, stand with me this morning. Praise God. Are you getting anything out of this? All right, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. God is so good. Amen? God is so good. Amen? Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. With heads bowed, eyes closed. Amen. We haven't necessarily preached a salvation message this morning, but let me just present the gospel very quick in abbreviated form. Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He allowed himself to be punished and ultimately die and be separated from his Father and go to death, hell, and the grave for you. When he took every sin that you ever have committed or ever will commit upon himself and nailed it to his cross, he was buried 3 days later. He was raised from the dead. After being seen of many witnesses for 40 days, he ascended to the right hand of the Father. But before he left, he promised through the angels that, I'm sorry, after he left, the angel said that he would return in like manner. Amen. That's the gospel as quickly as I can present it to you. You say, Pastor Mark, why do you do that every time before you ask somebody if they want to get saved? Because the Bible says in that simple message is found the power of God unto salvation. Amen. So if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Mark, I've never been born again, but man, I'd like to start that journey with Jesus, and I'd like to start it today. Anybody in the room, never been born again, but today's my day. Thank you, Jesus. Never been born again, but today's my day. All right. Amen. Amen. All right, let me pray for you. Father, thank you this morning for every person in this room, for those watching online. Thank you for your wisdom, Father. Thank you for your understanding. Thank you for sending your Son to the earth to not just tell us how you understand things, but to show us your understanding and how things were designed to work and to function. Father, this is a word-based, word-driven world, not money-based, not money-driven world. Jesus didn't buy miracles and give them to people. He spoke deliverance to the captives. He spoke healing to the sick. He spoke provision into the hands of those who had lack. Father, help us. Help us this morning, Father. We acknowledge that there are areas in our understanding that we are not seeing things as they truly are. That we are not operating according to the way things truly work. And Father, we ask what the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, taught us. We ask this morning for that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you worked in Christ Jesus, when you raised him from the dead and you seated him at your own right hand, Father, far above power, principality, might, and dominion, every name that's named, both in this age and the age that is to come, and you've given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, thank you this morning for the work of your Holy Spirit and for the work of your holy, living, powerful word in our lives to change the way we see the world. Such a big statement, Father. I know you want to break it down into parts and pieces and sections and segments, but Lord, at the end of the day, it really just comes back to the way we see things. An enlightened understanding. We're breaking free from a darkened one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing together this morning before we're dismissed. If you'd like someone to pray with you, these altars are open. We invite you to come. But could you just, in the presence of God for a moment as they lead us, just ask the Lord, maybe in your own way, you know, from your own heart, Father, help me with my understanding, and then we'll be dismissed.